Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
That's right. I am in the mobile Liquor Barn Studios. He is back there in the actual Liquor Barn Studios, drinking all the wine that he possibly can find. That's what he's doing.
All the wine?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Is that deal still going on? Because I sat behind someone at Liquor Barn yesterday, and they must have been buying 30 bottles of stuff that you couldn't even scan.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
How do you think I handled that?
I'm sure you were all like very good about and very patient about somebody buying a large quantity.
Yeah.
And trust me,
my body language was good.
I'm sure the body language was terrible, but like whatever you were buying wasn't as much as the person in front of you.
Oh no, you're right.
So
no, it was definitely not.
You'll have to deal with it.
Yeah, I was literally picking up a couple of things and I'm like, oh, man, please, this must be this damn deal. This must be this deal.
No.
I'm glad our partners are doing well. But finally, within about, 5 minutes, the other guy that was up behind the counter, I don't know what he's doing up there. You know, it always looks like they're doing something very important up there. Mm. He came down and took care of everybody. So it was good. It was very good after that. So, you know, they always have great customer service over there. But, I mean, you can imagine me as a guy is having a hand type in something that, like you said, sounded very expensive.
Every now and then you find a bottle in there that has no barcode. You got to look it up.
Yeah.
It's the way it goes.
That tells me that one's not cheap.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that one's not cheap.
But no, you can buy the 20% wine by the case sale did already end, but you can get every single day 10% off your purchase of six bottles of wine or more every single day at Liquor Barn. So if you're buying six bottles, you're getting 10% off every single day.
Labels,
even the ones without the labels.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it is. And and there's also a 5% off every day military discount. For our veterans. And so if you're a current or active, and that lasts all the time at Liquor Barn. So if you are active or former, you take your military ID. It is in store only. You can't do it on the delivery, unfortunately. But if you do show your military ID at your purchase, you're going to get 5% off all the time. Liquor Barn.
There we go. That's where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. That's our studio sponsor, and that's where Mark is, and I'm in the mobile studios. And, I've decided, the misery index around Louisville, and I think the Bozich has that term, and the misery index is high. I mean, I felt like I was playing counselor to people yesterday, around town. When I was talking to people, people would call me, Louis, this basketball.
I know.
And then the football, they're like, yeah, no, but okay. And then I've decided whose problems I want. Here's whose problems I want, Mark. Ohio State's problems.
Yes.
I want Ohio State's problems. First of all, they come in last night. Walls of them have a big lead, right? And then Ohio State comes away with the win. They clearly cheated. By the way, they could have beaten Walls. And your favorite referee must have been refereeing.
Is she
still around?
No, Lisa Mattingly Lee in women's basketball was just elected into the Hall of Fame. So that's going great.
Tell me that.
They must have missed the Final Four game.
That's not real, is it?
She did. I swear to God. Just happened within weeks.
Did you send her a congratulations card?
Yeah.
I'm sure Walls did. I'm
what
sure
about
Walls.
Dennis Hendigan wins his impending Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah, his hopefully a long time from now.
No.
But you know, the ACC did announce a new supervisor of football officials yesterday.
Oh, they did.
Alberto Riveron.
Okay, he is, you're next, dude.
Alberto! No, he is an NFL rules analyst. And so hopefully this goes. He served as the NFL senior vice president of officiating from 17 to 20. So not in the last 2 years, but he held that position for four seasons, and he's the new ACC supervisor of officials. So Dennis Hendigan is gone. Thank God.
Well, the devil you know. You know, versus the devil you don't know, Mark.
I don't know.
You don't know if it's going to be better or worse.
Here's who picked him. You want to know who picked him?
Sure.
North Carolina Director of Athletics, Bubba Cunningham.
Okay.
And Clemson Chief of Football Administration and Curve, Woody McCorvey. So there you go. So the ACC turned to the usual suspects.
Yeah. Well.
Who do you think is getting all those calls? They didn't loop Josh Hurd in on that?
You're already mad at a guy who's a director of a group of officials who hasn't actually made a call yet.
They haven't made
the
a call.
Part. Yeah.
Well,
this guy's actually not going to make any of the calls either.
You know, go to Pittsburgh, go to Boston College, go to Florida State. Get out of Carolina. Stop letting Carolina make all your decisions for you. Wonder why they get all the calls? That's why.
I didn't think NC State got calls against Louisville.
Well, no. Carolina gets That's how this is going to work.
But
Carolina and Clemson.
North Carolina State.
Hey, who's in the title game this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Okay. Yeah, that has to do all with officials.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it has all to do with officials. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mystery unwrapped.
Uh-huh. There you go. It's conspiracy. It's 7-11.
Although, you know, Strudel's weird Wednesdays are really great.
Yeah, I think I was catching the tail end of it yesterday, and then somebody called, so I didn't get to hear all of it yesterday.
It was good. I always liked that segment.
Were they demons, or I don't know what the hell they were.
It was like some alien people on their deathbed, and there's like all this stuff. Ridiculous.
What they're talking about. No, but I want Ohio State's problems, because they're bored of the Rose Bowl, which finally caved, which is actually a bigger and better story. But the Rose Bowl wants to take Penn State because Ohio State's attitude's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, we've been there, done that. Eh, Rose Bowl. So they may choose, if Ohio State's not in the playoff, the Rose Bowl may take Penn State over Ohio State because Ohio State's just – they're kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
You know, they had a bunch of players not play last year, and they're like, God, the Rose Bowl.
We got to go all the way out to California and the sunshine, and, you know, it's just the mountains and the sunset.
All.
You know, all the roses. This is such a burden to
go that far. The Rose Bowl, and they're like,
Yeah, and they're like, they lost to Michigan, so they're miserable. Meanwhile, their coach is 45-5, but he's got two losses to Michigan of the five, and that's just unforgivable.
Yeah.
And it's golly, guys.
He's got a 90 winning percentage or something.
It's unbelievable. 45-5. That is it's ridiculous.
They're so good, they're bored with the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, that's just absolutely amazing that they're like, gosh, again, it's a long way. It's a long flight. It's L.A.
Air travel with the, you know, it's all this inflation travel.
Although, you know what, though? It is sort of indicative of why now they did have to fold to the college football playoff. Because, you know, it's always been called the granddaddy of them all. I never understood why. Most years I like the matchup in the Sugar Bowl better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in the era of three or four networks that the Rose Bowl built its legend because you didn't get to see teams across the country match up for one another. I mean, by the time we get to the Rose Bowl a lot of times on New Year's Day, I'm not that thrilled with it. I like it when there's three games on at once, you know, around 1 o'clock. But the Rose Bowl had this moniker, but it's now they're finding out that they are not what they used to be. And because I'm reading from Ross Dellinger here, after months of delay, they agreed to amend the contract that's now going to pave the way. We're going to have a college football playoff in 2 years because they're going to have to, live with not having the mountains at, you know, third start of the fourth quarter be shown on January 1st, which is the stupidest thing to hold out for in the history of sports. And they don't have the leverage they used to have. I mean, it sounds to me like they basically told him, look, do you want a semifinal? Do you want to be a part of the playoff when it expands? Then you better make these changes now or you're out. We're dealing your butt out. And the Rose Bowl's like, but we're the Rose Bowl. They're like, we don't care. The Chick-fil-A Bowl matters as much as you these days.
Yeah. And, you know, the best thing about this news, and I've always loved the Rose Bowl.
They can't even play
on
Sunday.
Yeah, I've always loved the Rose Bowl, and I watch it, and I love the sunset.
I like it.
But the deal is like, you can't hold back the entire sport because of your sunset, because of your start time. You know, so you've got to be able to, you know, and they're going to try to work with them, but you can't. They can't guarantee it. So the college football playoff will be expanding next, not next season, but the year after. For the first time, up to 12 teams because the Rose Bowl agreed to this. So I think.
Not agreed. Caved. Let's
caved.
Be clear.
Yeah, you're right.
They were
caved.
Strong-armed. They don't have the leverage they used to have because they used to have that leverage. You used to have to do, we got to have the Rose Bowl as a part of it. And now you don't have to have Utah and Ohio State you had this year. You don't have to have it. The world doesn't wait for Utah and Ohio State and the mountains at you know, what San Fernando, San Bernardino? I don't care.
Mountains.
I've always thought it's been overrated. I'm always told, oh, it's a Rose Bowl, it's granddaddy and mom. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. Florida and Michigan are playing in the Outback
Bowl. San Gabriel.
That's more interesting to me.
Yeah, San Gabriel Mountains.
Yeah.
No, but it's great. And, you know, what happened with the Rose Bowl is like the College Football Playoff Committee was like, look, if you don't get on board, there's a multiple billion-dollar stadium in Southern California, or we could go to Vegas. We could
anywhere.
We could go like anywhere. Yeah, we could go to the Gator Bowl. We could play this wherever we want to. If you don't want to be involved, fine. The sport is moving forward, and I'm glad that the sport is moving forward with the Rose Bowl there. I know they've been a big pain in the butt, and
it's fine if they had held it up. You know, I mean, they were also going to just get crushed from a PR standpoint.
Oh, totally.
I mean, they were
going to
get destroyed from a
100%. But you know, and then, you know, so this is great news. If you are, like, how many times has Louisville or Kentucky or even Indiana, Cincinnati, our area teams been in that top 12? We'd be involved. And really, it could have killed Bobby Petrino in 17. If you think about it, Louisville would have been out in 16 and 17 with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I mean,
well, you do wonder the motivation level of that team against Kentucky with a. I mean, I'll never understand, and you got to remember that this actually happened. That people were disappointed at the prospect of going to the Orange Bowl by beating Kentucky.
I know.
You remember that?
I
mean,
do.
They were a 4-touchdown favorite against Kentucky, 26, whatever it was, looked up the other day. And I remember it because I lived through it. People were like, we only go to the Orange Bowl. God, I want to be in the playoff. But now we got to go to the Orange Bowl. I'm like, are you people serious?
Like, what
I think that's why we're in the position we're in today. I literally think that's why we're in the position. It's the karma of being too good for the Orange Bowl is the reason all our sports have, you know, gone into disarray.
It's incredible. Like, the Orange Bowl would have been a massive moment for the program.
But we were born with it. We wanted to be in the playoff.
I know.
And play, like, I mean, who would have been at that point? It was like somebody really good. Florida State ended up beating Michigan, I think. I think it was Michigan.
It was Michigan. Yeah, Florida State ended up getting it. Beat Michigan.
Playing Michigan in the Orange Bowl didn't sound good to us.
Beating number six Michigan or playing number six Michigan would have been a massive opportunity.
With Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
With Lamar Jackson in Miami would have been a massive story.
Kentucky.
Like, he fumbled. They lost to Kentucky. Ty Grantham rushed Devontae Fields all the way around the Snyder, and we let the running back. Devontae Fields was taking the long way around. I mean, he might as well have been rushing the passer on the concourse. And then whoever the running back was it Snell? Was it Snell?
I don't
remember who it was. He's just taking that lane because Devontae Fields just kept leaving. And it's like Mark Stoops is like, well, okay, well, no problem. I'll take that. It's pretty easy.
But yeah, I think that's why we're in the position we're in today because we were like, oh, go to the Orange Bowl and play Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. But if,
really?
But it is interesting in this year's Rose Bowl, if they do take Penn State and Ohio State goes to the Orange Bowl, as what's been reported, then the ACC is going to get the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is it used to be the Outback Bowl in Tampa, which is
so
massive.
So you're saying the options in Florida are expanding for Louisville and some for the ACC, and it could trickle down to Louisville.
Could trickle down. To be honest with you, I doubt it will. But I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, does Carolina beat Clemson? And if that happens, do they choose Clemson in the New Year's Six anyway? That might be the ACC's best way to get two teams is to have North Carolina beat Clemson. Because then North Carolina
would knock them down pretty good, wouldn't it?
It would, but I mean, they know that they're going to sell tickets, and college football playoff committee is going to do what they can to make money, and you know how many people watch Clemson football on television. So, I don't know. I mean, it probably would knock them out, but maybe it makes no difference at all. But
telling me news that I'm not getting excited, that I have no reason to get excited about.
This is
getting my hopes up.
Great news for the college football playoff to go to 12 teams. I can't wait. And if our recruiting class can come in, then all we're going to talk about is 2024. The 2023 season, we're not making a 14 playoff.
If you get this recruiting class in and you back it up with another, you would hope that that's what the hopes are.
Everybody's going to be gunning for it. I mean, because it's so much more attainable. I mean, Kentucky this year, they spent a lot of time in the top 10.
Yeah, they're in the top 15 or so.
Yeah,
and you get a real chance, and a lot of teams have been in the top 15 by in week 9 or 10.
Sure, and so it's just really exciting, and I know Indiana a couple years back they would have been in it. Louisville would have been in it a number of times. A lot of schools that basically feel like the top 4 is just a million miles away. Now you're in the college football playoff. The politics is relatively out. I mean, there's still going to be politics.
There's still a massive difference, too, from being in it and being able to win it. I mean, it's still a massive gap between those. But
you get to settle it on the field.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah, you get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, there have been so many times where, Louisville's a Conference USA or a Big East school. And in 2006, I mean, we'd have been in that thing, and everybody's like, they're the Big East. They don't play any defense. They don't do anything.
Doesn't matter.
Line it up. Let's find out. Yep. Let's find out. And I, I would have loved, especially if Michael Bush would have been able to play that entire season, to see that Louisville football team.
It's the best what if ever.
Square up.
Sports history.
I know.
I mean, it is the ultimate what if. If only he hadn't, gotten hurt. I mean, even. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to clear my throat. It's the ultimate what if there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how long it'll be before Louisville's back in contention for that. To be in those, in that running there, to be able to have those hopes preseason, midseason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's see what happens in the portal. Let's see what happens in recruiting. I mean, I like a lot of the young players we have. I think we all know that Louisville is limited at the receiver spot and at quarterback, and we don't really know what's going to look like at quarterback next year. But when did Louisville go to the Sugar Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater? They did it when they were sophomores.
Yeah,
they had a great run then. And when they were juniors in 2013, all that group, they just kept getting older and they kept getting better as the number one defense in the country, number one third down offense in the country in 2013.
They had a lot of NFL players on that.
Players.
That's what it boils down to.
11 players. Having, got drafted.
Having NFL yes. having pros on your team. I mean, no matter what the sport, more pros you have, better you are.
And so this class on paper right now, before it's signed, okay? So it's on some sort of weird parchment paper right now. It's not a scroll. And one-time transfer can always mess things up, too, once they're even here. But right now, it is currently the best recruiting class in the history of Louisville football.
And where are the rankings of it right now?
Right, so right now it's 15th.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's really strong.
Now, should we be concerned about the guy from the LA Times that says he tweeted yesterday?
Eric Sondheimer.
This guy doesn't stop tweeting, by the way. No. I mean, my God, no. I had to go back and search for this. He said, it looks like those early commits by SoCal football players to Louisville are about as good as an unsigned letter of intent. But then he also goes down there to say that, Nah, Pierce Clarkson's good, and one of the others is good, too. I'm like, well, who are we really talking about then?
Yeah, he's talking about DeAndre Moore. I mean, he's talking about DeAndre Moore. I mean, and that's...
He says they all might decommit. And a guy goes, I thought Pierce seemed dead set. He goes, he's committed and likely. Well, that's different than they all might decommit.
Right. I mean,
I don't understand.
It's kind of I don't really like his tweet because it's as flimsy as it's like the uncommitted players he's talking about. But no, I mean, DeAndre Moore is the one you're worried about. We mentioned the other day he wore Georgia gloves in his title game. They're going to play for the state championship next weekend.
How many guys, though, are we talking about?
So
many,
right now,
how many Southern California guys?
Right now, we've got one, two, three, four, five from California.
Okay.
Five of how many guys do we got? 15.
They might all decommit. It's going down to the wire.
And they're not going to. I mean, Pierce Clarkson's coming to Louisville. Aaron Williams is coming to Louisville.
And he did say that. He did say Pierce Clarkson.
Jaleel McClain is coming to Louisville. Jamari Johnson's coming to Louisville. The one that I'm worried about is DeAndre Moore.
I think everybody should be worried about all of them, should they not, if money starts going up
sure.
in other places?
Ohio State's getting involved with Reuben Owens. We'll see what happens with that. But he's a Texas kid. I mean, we're talking about the California kids. And the Miami kids, like Stanquan Clark, people are coming after him. But that's what this is where you want to be, you know.
Well, you want to be here, but you want to get them. You don't want to be here and then day after signing day, you know, sitting there.
Yeah, sure. Ohio State's had decommits. Notre Dame's had decommits. Alabama's had decommits.
Okay, but this recruiting class is specifically one of the reasons.
Yes,
that Scott Satterfield had any momentum going in the year, and that people make the case. To keep him, even though they are 7-5, and I think they, you know, the case is an easy one. But there's not enthusiasm with the program. But any enthusiasm is tied to this. Ohio State can lose players, fine. They're Ohio State. This recruiting class has got to stay mostly intact.
Oh yeah, and I think
I don't know
will.
What the mood's going to be.
I think it will, Drew. I think, you know what I'm saying here is of 15, they're probably going to sign 19. Right, they're going to get. There's four or five guys they're waiting on that they're in really good spots with. I mean, Reuben Bain's probably the highest profile guy. If they got him, I mean, oh my goodness! And just so you understand, they've already got two of his teammates already committed in Stanquan Clark and Katarius Hicks from Miami. This team beat IMG Academy. Reuben Bain, Stanquan Clark.
I don't want to get too down deep into it.
Okay.
It better be one that people go. They're ranked 15th. They lost one guy, but they got another. If it's they lost, boom, boom. You know, if it's noticeable to the public at large who don't know all these names, they just know things are going well, and all of a sudden, if they don't go well,
Reuben Bain's 85th in the country. You know,
amazing.
Number nine defensive lineman in the country. I mean, if you got him, I mean, it's a program changing.
What's the
commitment.
Countdown to that? We need something to look forward to.
I think it's the 20th.
All this
December.
You know, you're not sure about that. That's the funny part.
Yeah, no, I think it's the 20th. I'm pretty sure. I need to figure out if I can.
Signing.
I want to know where we're going bowling before I fully commit to going to California on signing day.
You're not going there. Come on.
Because the thing is I don't want to do two pilgrimages.
Yes.
You know, I think I'll prioritize the game over the signing day, and they're too close together. Like if signing day were like tomorrow. I think I could go. I think there's enough space there. But because of Christmas and bowl games and stuff like that, I need to know where the bowl game is.
I mean, you Google signing day, it still gives you the February one. I mean, come on, Google. Step it up here, man. Football, December 20th. Max's birthday, December 21st.
Oh, 21st, okay.
So that'll be easy for me to remember. Satterfield's birthday. It's also Satterfield's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Well,
so Satterfield's birthday is signing day.
Perfect. Happy. I
How
hope it's a
that?
Happy birthday for Scott Satterfield. Also, today is my sister's birthday. So happy birthday to Natalie Blankenbaker out there. We'll see her later today. And
three-star, four-star, what position?
Oh, she's a five-star,
okay, right.
Number one pick in the class of 84.
Okay, all right. Yeah. How about that? It's on Satterfield's birthday.
There we go. Yeah, that's awesome. I hope it's a great birthday for Sat. Him and his staff put in a lot of work on this group. And Cole Martin is one to watch. He's out there committed to Oregon right now. There are other guys to kind of keep your eye out on, too. Everett Rousseau, he's a linebacker out of Georgia.
I don't want to get too deep. It's got to be good, you know.
And there's some Miami kids. Keep an eye on. To keep an eye on. I'm really excited. And, you know, with coaching changes and different things like that, it's shaken up some of these guys that Louisville have been in on. And it also, you know, shakes guys into the transfer portal. Because this isn't just a freshman class that you're looking at.
No, yeah.
It's the portal, too.
Do we know, is there a portal signing period? I mean, what are they?
It'll happen pretty much as guys, I think, graduate, which basically starts next week. You know, because I don't think they can technically actually go into the portal until is it the
fifth?
Semester's
over. I don't know.
I think it's after. I think it's
probably
after the championship games are done, and that you know there's like a dead period there after the championship games are completed that they that nobody can talk to anybody except your own team.
Yeah.
And so that'll really kick the portal open, and then once that portal is that portal dead period is done, then everybody can start talking to everybody. So it's going to be crazy.
What a bizarre time, you know, in college football.
Good luck. I mean, and that's the thing about bowl games and projecting anything for next year. Like, you can't sit here right now and tell me that Ole Miss is or
good.
Is not a playoff team.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, you have to, and even going into this, well, I mean, going into the season, right now with playoffs, though, we pretty much know. I don't think we saw USC coming.
No, you didn't see TCU.
No.
You didn't see that. And the reason why is you don't know who's on what team.
Yeah, that's what these preseason, like, I always thought it was funny this year, you know, preseason predictions of teams, like, nobody even takes the time to research who's on
right.
these teams.
Right. I mean, if Kentucky right now, who doesn't have a quarterback, got McNamara or Hudson Card or Jeff Sims, they're top 25. They go from 60th to top 25 instantly.
Yeah.
You know, that. I mean, and Louisville's the same way. Like, if they get a couple studs at wide receiver, they get the right transfer quarterback in here to kind of bridge them for Pierce Clarkson, I think, with the right guys in the transfer portal, they're better than they were this past season.
So the portal does open the 5th, which is Monday, and it's open for 45 days. So
wow,
there you go,
wild, wild west, and teams that lose guys they're not expecting then go to get more money for recruits that are committed to other places, and you got between December 5th and the 21st going to be insane, and then after the 21st until it closes when did you say it closes?
45 days, I think.
45
that's,
days.
So that's like
mid-January
23rd
or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So basically, probably like the last enrollment possible time.
Right, yeah.
For
whenever
somebody to enroll
in
the winter semester.
Drop ad day or whatever.
And then it'll happen again in the spring. Like, you know, whenever we go through spring practice. So there's multiple times for this. And, you know, but this is
right.
When you.
I forget TCU was 5-7 last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so you can't call. You don't know what they're going to do in the transfer portal, or with what a new coach might come in and be able to put together. Maybe you find a nice fit. And Louisville has done really well in the transfer portal. I see in the text line that, you know, people are like, Louisville got killed with Russ Yeast and Aiden Robbins. Here's what I'll say about those guys. I'm so happy for those guys, Aiden Robbins and Russ Yeast. I mean, Aiden Robbins is a 1,000-yard rusher at UNLV, and Russ Yeast is in the NFL with the Rams. Russ Yeast wasn't doing that at Louisville. Aiden Robbins wasn't going to do that at Louisville.
Why not?
I mean, his time here was done. I mean, like, for whatever reason, there are some times where coaches and players need fresh starts from one another. Hassan Hall at Georgia Tech is another one of those. You think Hassan Hall, after fumbling, how many times? You know,
I mean, look, I think they've done well. I think they've done well in the transfer portal. But you do now and then lose guys that do succeed elsewhere, and that doesn't make you look the greatest. I mean, it's not a great look.
I don't want to lose Caleb Banks in this class. I don't. And he's going to go in the portal, probably go to Michigan State. He's from Michigan. I don't like losing him. I didn't like losing last year Greedy Vance. He ended up with 4 interceptions at Florida State. You're going to lose 5 or 6 players that you don't care about, and you're going to lose 2 or 3, maybe more.
Jordan Travis
that you don't want to lose.
Yeah,
that you don't want to lose at all.
God, USC was 4-8 last year too. It's crazy to think that this turnaround's going to happen.
Lincoln Riley took 1 million transfers to USC.
Yeah,
he turned over the roster.
All right, we'll let you hop on in, 267-9680. That's the number to hop on in. Text away the UPS Jobs text line. I'll get to some of those, 437-9680. And we'll let you hop in that way this morning. It's the RGB Home Theaters. Kyle had this guy out here, got a new remote that is a game changer. Oh, I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes when you have a lot of components, like I know how to use it, but like if somebody's watching Chip or something like that, I mean, to try to use the remote, it can get involved. So I got a new one yesterday. It's a game changer. You push the button, it looks like the TV. TV comes on. Can't do anything about Spectrum app. Spectrum app still sucks. Nothing you can do about that. But either way, When it comes time to doing, making your sound and viewing experience better, talk to the guys at RGB. I was talking with my guy, Coach Joe, yesterday. He was like, he had an idea in his head. He was gonna do this with a projector. He was gonna do this with a big TV. I said, don't buy anything. Let them come scout it out. And these guys, again, they're engineers by trade, so they're gonna think of things you probably haven't thought of in your space, because they'll go, oh, you could do this. You could do this way, and you could put this over here, and you could have these speakers. Because this is what they do. And again, when you're an engineer by trade, you tend to be pretty smart and think of things that, you know, dopes like me would never have thought of. So, and they're like, where's the attic? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know where your attic is?
I do now. I mean, I was pretty sure.
You didn't know before yesterday?
I mean, why would I ever go in the attic?
You don't store anything up there like Clark Griswold?
No.
You don't have anything? Like, do you know if it's insulated?
No idea. I don't know. Mark, this is why I have people like RGB.
Oh, there's somebody living up there. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, right. This is why I have RGB in my life, so I don't have to know things like that. Do you know where my attic is?
No,
not so much.
No idea. Yeah, no idea.
I do. But RGB, they do. And then they said, oh, we could go here, put speakers up here. And now I have that theater-like experience just in my living room. So whether you know where your attic is or not, they'll be able to help you out. It's RGB, red, green, blue, RGBHomeTheaters.com. And tell me who's talking about them right here.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is Scott Satterfield, and you're listening to the new home for all U of L athletics, 93.9 The Ville.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, as we roll along here this morning. We got plenty coming up. A week from today, but I need to promo this before I get to the promo sheet. We will be raising money for Cram the Van, for our annual fundraiser that our folks at Focus. It's so funny now, you know, they kickstarted us with $5,000 to try to match. Well, I mean, we've kind of shot way past that. I think we can get that in the first hour. That's the goal. And I've been on the phone this week with people who really want to help out as well. That might have some other matching hours in there, and we got some big things. I think we can announce here very soon. And then we'll do the big shopping spree on the 13th. We'll get the big truck from our friends over at Sternberg, and we'll fill it up, and we'll cram. You know, it started out as cram the van. We had a van, and we actually drove it around.
That's right.
And we filled it up.
Yeah.
What we found out is, well, people that can give money, that tends to go further when you take the people from Wayside Christian Mission and turn them loose over there and let them smart shop, the money we get and turn it into, sometimes double of the amount of dollars. I mean, you should see these two sisters over there. They're like, no, put that back. That's only 20% off. This over here is 30% off. I mean, it's like it's a system, man.
I love watching.
So, yeah, it really is impressive to watch.
Yeah, and, the money raising day is a lot of fun, and the money spending day is a lot of fun. Days,
yeah,
because it really is multiple days.
Yeah,
it's awesome to watch both of those things.
But
happen.
Really, but yeah, they're going to buy it on that day. I mean, they can't spend it all at Kohl's, but I think what we're going to try to do is have the one picture this year where we have everything that everybody bought. And I'm not going to try. This is the only thing I'm going to insist on. That we want the one picture of everything that bought. Because a lot of times, the trucks are going to three different ways. They're going to go the three or four different ways to the various charities, but we are getting one picture of all or video of all of the stuff.
I love that.
That we can buy. So
it's a lot of fun. But no,
and we're legit, and we're 501c3, thanks to our friends over at People's Bank helping us set that up. Got the account and everything. We'll have a PayPal. Still working on Venmo. My God, to try to get a Venmo for a charity is
really
way more work than you think. Yeah, I spent about 4 hours on it yesterday.
Did you really?
Yes.
Golly.
Yes.
Should make it way easier because you can do it for your personal stuff. What, it's like minutes.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's wild that
it
takes that much.
But you got to be you don't want people being fake charities. You know?
That's true.
You don't want to, people scamming. So, I guess on some level it's a good thing.
That makes sense.
But People's Bank coming through to help us with the paperwork on that. And that's where, Ronnie Harris and those guys and Chris team have helped out with, of course, King & Company and People's Bank. So they made a big help for us. And we're legit now.
Are we doing it next Thursday?
We'll raise the money next Thursday over at the Kroger in Stony Brook. Again, we're going to have some announcements with that. But we'll be there on site. You'll be able to do the GoFundMe. You'll be able to do PayPal for sure. Hopefully Venmo as well. Again, that's a process that I had no idea was going to be this long. Yeah. We'll see.
And Drew found a lot of money in his attic yesterday that had been up there. some priceless goods that you're going to donate to Cram the Van, right?
I have never set foot in my attic.
I can't believe that. You live there.
You see all the storage space I have in this house. This house has one thing. It has storage space and convenient areas. Some of them sort of weird-looking rooms. It's amazing. This house is way more proportionate, more storage space than a house should its size. So I don't need to go into the attic. It's like you go down to the end of the hallway and the workout room, the closet, and climb up that closet. I'm not getting up.
But don't you want to know like the condition of the attic? Maybe there's a leak in the
Carlin
roof.
Carlin fixed the roof, man.
Walk through it every now and then.
Put a new roof on 3 years ago. No.
I mean, just to make sure that there's not nobody living in there, nobody broke in.
Mark, when you see where the attic actually is, I think you'll understand. Because you'd have to go down to my workout room where you've seen. You have to get a ladder, and you get in the closet, and then you climb up there, and you're
do that.
In some crawl space
so,
up there.
So you don't know where the attic or the yellow garage is at UK. You haven't found any either
there
one of those
yet.
There
is no yellow parking lot at UK. No one knows where it is. I do know where my attic is. I have utterly no reason to go up there. Texas Drew's attic is where Brandon Lang lives. Yes, that's good. He makes himself quiet. He makes himself at home. Don't worry. In his suite downstairs or whatever you want to call
it. Here's a transfer of note. Just hit the portal. Stanford Cardinal Stephen Heron from Trinity High School has just hit the portal. He is a former four-star defensive end. He had a number of sacks over last year. I don't remember that. It was like maybe five and a half, seven.
So
and a half.
Significant player.
Yeah, but they've made a change at their coaching staff. He's the former 153rd player in the country out of Trinity.
Why do I not remember that recruitment at all?
Committed to Stanford.
Super high for around here.
Committed to Stanford right away. He's class of 2019. Yeah. So it's been a number of years, and he's in the portal. So you're losing Yasir. You're losing Yaya. Go get your boy. Bring him back home. And work on that. Now that you're a big Trinity Shamrock, you need to start making
Trinity
some
dad.
Phone calls.
And I'm a Trinity dad.
You're a Trinity Shamrock
I'm
dad.
I'm a Trinity
father.
Dad. Yes, I'm spending money there. It's for darn sure. Texter says, excuse that, Texter. It's Christmas time. Santa Lang lives in your ass.
Santa Lang.
Yes, Santa Lang.
Did you ever sit on Santa Lang's lap?
No, I did not.
Haven't heard from Brandon in a while. It's been
we had Friday before the game, and then I don't know. I'll try to get him tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
Texas didn't commit to Stanford right away. He was committed to Michigan for over a year. We're going to Stanford. Is that right for that kid?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh.
No idea.
I get all about him. I thought you were my recruiting guy.
I mean, I don't know them all. There's 1,500 kids every year in the database, man.
Let me ask you this, because I was talking with someone yesterday involving college sports, and then they asked me that we got a discussion. I can't figure out which side I landed on, but we kind of posed the question to one another: does what's going on in basketball give Satterfield more pressure or less pressure? Does it give him cover? Or is there more pressure for him to win because basketball is not giving anybody any joy? And, I mean, because the one argument is, look, if you think things aren't good in football, look at basketball, and it gives them cover. The other side of the argument is, though, man, there's not a lot to look forward to in basketball right now, and football is sort of blasé attitude from a lot of people. And if that's not good, maybe it ramps it up on him to really to act, you know, even more. So I could see both sides of it. I came in thinking, well, sure, it makes his job, you know, easier, but then or makes the pressure easier. But I don't know.
In terms of fans, it probably gives him a big opportunity, but it also could amp up the pressure. In terms of his, you know, status with the administration, it probably helps them out a great deal that Kenny Payne is tanking, because the resources that the school and the athletic department are going to be fewer because of what's happening with basketball. I mean, what's happening on the basketball front is a financial mess. Yeah. You know, really for the university. I mean, it's hamstringing every single sport that we have on campus that Kenny Payne can't even be competitive this year. And, you know, the fact and I do think that what it will do is it'll help from an NIL perspective, Scott Satterfield. People, they're not going to be spending money with Kenny Payne.
You know what? Yeah. You're might. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so the people who are
I could see that
of that mind are probably more likely to help Scott on the football front. And I and the one thing that Scott's doing is the things that Kenny isn't doing. He's recruiting at a very high level, and he is
thoroughly embracing NIL.
Yeah, and he's gone through some runs. I mean, like we beat some really good football teams this year, and we didn't win enough games. You know, we didn't win enough games. There's no doubt about it. But we went on a decent run there late in the year that should, I hope, give people a lot of hope.
They showed improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, they
yeah.
showed improvement. I mean, if you'd have asked me what the future of Scott said, if it was one quarter into the Virginia game, I'd say he's gone, because it looked like, you know, that was right after Boston College.
I thought it was
a backup
over.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
It, I mean, they couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, they turned it around from there. But you saw something that even if you don't like the results, and you may not even like the coach, you even his harshest critic would go, well, they did get better on defense. Now, they haven't closed the gap on Kentucky, and I don't care. That's the don't tell me they lost by 13. I saw the game.
Yeah, I don't
lost
care
by more than that.
I don't care.
They
losing's losing. Lose by one or 50.
And
I don't care.
And they got whooped. So I'm not. Don't try to sell me on the final
yep.
score. I saw the game. And so you know, but you saw something. You saw some improvement, and that's what they don't see right now in basketball, but and they don't see anything really in recruiting, and that's where Satterfield is probably, you know, saved his job. I mean, 7-5 probably saves most people's job, but just a blasé 7-5 without the recruiting buzz, I don't know. Maybe
right.
it doesn't.
And Scott really can't do 7-5 and 7-5, you know, over and over again.
I know.
You know, he just can't. Like that's. It sucks because people get disinterested, and we've seen that already. Like, you've got to have all of this patience pay off. And we were nearly there. Didn't happen this year. Maybe they can win a bowl game, get that eighth win. But I'm talking eight regular season wins changes the perception of how everybody views your year. It really does. And don't stop at just 8. Go to 9. Go to 10. And I don't know if they'll be able to do that next season, but in 2024 – I fully expect us to be in the top 25, being a very difficult team to beat. Our schedule is very manageable for the next two seasons. The 2026 schedule.
Well, we don't know. Mark,
crap.
You just said it yourself a half hour ago. Like, you don't know what these teams are going to morph into.
Oh, no.
I mean, you really don't.
I agree with that, Drew. But the thing is, Scott Satterfield has to make sure he's winning over the next two seasons.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got to win on the recruiting trail. He's got to win in the transfer portal. I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
Just go get it done.
All right. Brian is up next here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680-1057. Brian, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. No, it's crazy to think to predict, you know, 12 months from now. But I think if Satterfield were to go 7-5 in the regular season next year, he would be retained, because what you're going to have, the basketball season is going to be so early next year, and I do think the cover will be created. I think the cover is there now. I mean, it's sad to think that, and I'm as red as anybody, that we're going to have more wins from the football team than we are from the basketball team.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember back in
that was like a joke for about a month ago, but people were like kind of joking about that. Like,
that's reality.
It's an actual stat now.
Yeah.
Now, you know, sometimes, you know, when you have a bruise and it hurts, it's painful. But when you amputate your arm, you know, it's gone. You don't feel the pain anymore. It's like we've become numb to it. It's just like it's an accepted premise of where we are. But, you know, I remember in the 90s when we had a really tough basketball season, I think we might have won 14 games. maybe play Florida State in the conference championship to get the automatic bid. But yep, I remember you know, yep. how disgusted we were with only winning 14, you know, games. And I think it's based on a total volume of maybe four or five fewer total games in the regular season. You know, our seasons were a little more compressed back then. But hey, it's sad. I do think Satterfield's got the cover, but I completely agree with Blank with everybody that I think in the 2024 season with the recruiting that we're hearing, and if it stays that way, I really think 8-9 wins is going to happen. I think it's all going to develop football-wise where we're going to want to be, and I think we're finally going to beat Kentucky hopefully in a couple of years. We'll get the talent that we need. So I just did see, I went on a switching gears, you just saw that a little bit in a couple different positions where they just really just they had us in a few spots, but we were so damn close and those guys fought so hard. So like you talk about the optics all fall along, I've heard this from you guys, what do the optics look like? Kentucky covered the spread, but I felt as a real fan that watched the game, I didn't care, you know, you go to the bathroom at commercials, this is one game we watched the entire every minute. It was the optics, were the guys fighting and were they playing? And they were. So just wanted to throw that out to you guys. Have a great one.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't ever feel like they were fighting as hard as the Kentucky guys. I mean, that's the difference. It's not like their effort level isn't good. It's just it's not matching Kentucky.
Yeah, either. Louisville didn't have the receivers they needed in that game. To me, if Louisville had receivers and a quarterback.
Well, that's an important
thing. Yeah, everybody's like, well, yeah, if he has a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher and a second baseman.
Yeah, and a catcher. They had a quarterback and some receivers.
Yeah, but they were that's Satterfield. That's his job now. You've got to figure out why your receivers weren't good.
Yeah.
We all know why Malik cut him.
But does it put – so it puts, in your mind, circle back to that, less pressure on Satterfield, what's going on in basketball?
I do. I think it puts less pressure. Well, it probably gives them more support, you know, like more support in terms of like what fans are interested in, how much, like if you're thinking right now, if you're a Louisville season ticket holder, you might say, you know what, I'm going to forego basketball next year, but I'm going to go to football. You know, because I know that I'm going to at least have some fun with football next year.
Yeah, you're not going to give up, you know, your fandom. It's hard to believe. I was just trying to do the math. This is unbelievable to me. Just think back to last January 5th. The Louisville was 4-0 in the ACC and 10-4 overall in basketball.
I know.
But we knew it was a little bit of fool's gold, but we just thought if we could survive another stretch. Since then, it's almost impossible. Is this the real world? They've lost 21 of 24 games.
I can't even. I don't know of a stretch that's bad.
And 18, if I'm doing my math right.
Wow.
And if I'm off, I'm not off by much. But 3-18 to lose 18 of 21 basketball games. It's unfathomable.
Wow. I guess. And
can you name their last win?
Oh, they beat was it Georgia Tech in the ACC tournament?
I wouldn't have got it. What about the last regular season win?
I can't do it. I don't know.
Clemson.
Clemson.
Was that here? Yeah, that was here. Yeah, Clemson.
God.
February 19th.
I mean, that was our the 25-point loss to Maryland is the largest home loss since Louisville lost to Charlotte in Freedom Hall in 2001. It's the largest non-conference loss since 1986. You know, so you know, at home. So you know, it's crazy. And actually, Kenny Payne scored 7 points in that loss to Kentucky in 1986.
Oh, that was 80-54. That was the Rex Chapman coming out party.
85-51.
Right? Oh, 85-51. Okay.
That's what Kelly Dickey has.
I'm sure he's right.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Well,
I'm sure he's not.
I'm sure he is
that.
Too. But he also had a good stat. I'm trying to find.
Well, let's grab a call here while you grab that. Todd's going to be up next. Todd, welcome at 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've been listening to you all the last couple of days, and I think for me is I think you're right. I think you have to – the NIL has made it crazily insane, and I think Kenny might have been like, look, we're going to get hammered by the NCAA. I don't know if he recruited it like he should have, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get this slap on the wrist, and oh, my gosh, and now we have the green light, and we're not going to be hammered. And I think, you know, for me, NIL – I think I'm old school in that you have to show me before I'm going to pay you. It's just like a sales position. Like, you don't give a salesperson some elaborate salary and then tell them to go sell stuff because they're not going to sell anything. So you give them a little bit of food on the plate, and then you say you got to go earn the rest. I think you got to figure out how to do that in football because it takes a while to develop. Basketball's a little different animal, but I think also U of L's expectations, especially the fans, like, what did you think he was going to do? Like, blink his eyes and have a perfect team? I mean, that's we want stuff so quickly nowadays, and no one wants to realize that you have to work for it.
Well, but basketball, you always expect more than this. Whoa. Are we late? Are we here?
Yeah, I guess we're on the air, but
okay, I can take that
something
automatic.
Fired there.
That's the automatic top of the hour.
Yeah.
I got this idea. I thought we were.
Here's the thing: like Louisville basketball should be able to go out there and do what LSU did, right? Like, why can't Louisville basketball do what LSU did?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They had the same cloud. You're right. Yeah.
Why can't Louisville basketball do what USC football just did?
I sort of wonder, though, too, and I guess as we get to the top of the hour, we can circle back to this. Does them losing like this make people more apt to donate to NIL because if you don't, this is what you could be looking at?
Yeah.
I think that's something I wonder about.
It depends. I mean, do you feel okay, if Rick Pitino were our coach, sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Raise some NIL money for sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do you believe in the coach? And then you're probably digging in your pockets. You know, if you believe in the coach, you're probably like, yeah, man, if we get Rick Pitino could get DeJuan Wagner and if Rick Pitino could get Donovan Mitchell, you know, then that might change how you reach into your pocket and what you pull out.
Well, you can reach into your pocket for Underdog Fantasy, and you can make up to 20 times your money over there at Underdog Fantasy. You first of all, use my promo code, Drew, it's DREW, and create a 2-to-5-player pick'em entry, and you can win, again, 20 times your money. You just pick whether your favorite player is going to have a higher or lower stat total. And this week's game, tonight's game, if it's NBA, whatever the case may be, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. And you can profit off it. So sign up today with my promo code Drew, DREW, and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com, find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with my promo code Drew to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, hour number two straight hip. Hey, we'll finally talk to John Bowl. It's been a long time since we talked to him at 8:30. We'll do that. And we got our picks. Forgot about that, too. Hour number two straight hip.